All right. That's nice by you, a nice bit of breeze. Pray before I start. Father God, I thank you that we can come together this morning, Lord. Father, I thank you for your precious word. And Father, I just ask that as I share your word, that Lord, that you will undertake, that Lord, as I step out of the boat onto the water to Jesus, Lord, I know that you will undertake completely. And Father, I just pray that your word will go forth, that it will bless our hearts, that it will accomplish everything that you wanted to accomplish this morning. And Lord, I give you all the honour, all the glory, and all the praise. Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Today I would like to share what God says about prayer. We bring our worship and our requests to God through prayer. And so what is prayer? In prayer, we obtain through faith in Christ grace and favour. Prayer to me, as I think upon it now, writing this message, is communion with my Heavenly Father. To be able to sit and talk with the Lord Jesus in such a way that a person who hasn't come to faith in Christ will not really fully understand. We hear people saying, oh, someone up there must be listening or watching me over me, or words to that effect, but not really knowing who that someone is. And we can pray for many different needs in our lives, in that we pray for forgiveness. We pray for our needs, others' needs. And firstly, it should be adoration to our God. And so much more we can pray for. And as believers in Christ today, we have direct access to our Father God. We obtain this direct access only through trusting in the complete work of Calvary's cross that our Lord Jesus Christ died upon in our place to pay the penalty for our sin, to take the punishment of our wrongdoing. Then we obtain this access to God. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Romans 5 verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. And that we're justified means to be declared innocent before God, and that is only through faith in Christ today. Every believer, every born-again believer who have placed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ has free, abundant, and immediate access to God. Immediate admission, the price paid for us through Christ. We have entry into God's favour. Amen. We can draw near, present ourselves to God, to Almighty God. I read that term access also can refer to a harbour or a haven where ships come to anchor, conveying the idea of shelter from the stormy seas of life, an anchor for our souls, our lives. I can visualize myself being nestled safely with my Saviour, lying in the bosom of Jesus, so close to the Lord. And I love that illustration. Romans 5 verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love for us. In this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? Verse 10, for if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Verse 11, not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Through faith in Christ's sacrifice for us, we are no longer separated from God because of our sin. But through his precious blood, we are brought back into relationship with him, reconciled back to the Father through Jesus Christ, his Son. And so we have this direct access. And one of the most powerful ways this relationship is grown and matured is through prayer. And we know reading God's word. So today I'm going to share some thoughts through scripture on prayer life, prayer time, and our relationship with God through prayer. And I know that prayer is such a personal gift from God, and each of us has a personal walk with him. A boat anchor helps keep a boat attached to one place on the ocean floor, so that it does not go adrift on the sea. Our prayer life will keep us focused on Christ. Jesus is our hope and anchor, who will keep us in the midst of storms. Hebrews 6:19-20. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain, where our forerunner Jesus has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. I'm not sure how to pronounce that. Christ became our sacrifice once and for all. Amen. Hebrews 4:14-16. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. What a confidence to be able to have this direct access of prayer. This direct haven, this direct harbour, where we, like ships, can come to anchor to have a firm, solid place to rest in Christ. The only access we need for prayer is faith in Christ today. Then we can nestle down in him and pray. I have my place or places where I pray, where I am alone with God. And Jesus said, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father. In other words, shut out the distractions of life. We all can have our quiet times to be able to do this. Sometimes there can be interruptions. Sometimes we can have a spiritual attack from Satan. Or our minds just wander, or somebody calling us. But just to sit in a quiet place to pray and just bring our thoughts and our needs, but firstly our adoration to God, to worship him. I'm reminded as I write this message that I haven't sang to the Lord for a while in prayer. Lovely choruses of worship to him. Yes, I can listen to worship music, and I do that quite a lot. But whilst praying, but to sing to the Lord is personal and is precious too. And when I first came to Moriah, we had morning prayer meetings where we used to sing choruses. And in recent times, in prayer meetings before COVID, we have done the same thing, where we sing and we wait on each other and we worship the Lord together. A time where we enjoy God's presence through just waiting on him together as a body of Christ and worshiping in prayer and song. Yes, there is need for order, and that's scriptural. But I believe there is need to wait too in God's presence, not rush our time and wait in silence if needed. In Luke's Gospel, the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. But I'm going to take the account from Matthew 6:5-15 if you want to turn there, because I'm going to read quite a bit of it. So, Matthew 6:5-15. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, and forgive our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. There doesn't always need to be many words. Not thoughtless repetition. But to sit in God's presence knowing that he sees our every need is such a blessing. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him, Jesus says. So if we forget to ask for something, God knows all about it. Find a scripture for your need and stand on it. Amen. So what is our prayer life? When Jesus calls us to go into our room and close the door and pray to the Father, I believe this is a time of intimacy with God, a time set apart. Yes, we can pray on the go. We can speak to the Lord through the day. We do whatever we're doing. But I believe that Jesus is speaking of a time where we set apart, we close the door, and we just come and have that intimate time with him. And firstly, we need to know who our Heavenly Father is. I have read that the Jews did not address God directly as Father, but used this personal title to describe God's relationship to Israel, or to refer to him as Creator. Our Father was a new title used by Jesus, who chose the term Abba, carrying the more intimate sense of Daddy, and invited all who belonged to him to do the same. So this coming aside, setting time apart for God is so needed and is precious for us. Yes, we can talk to God, but we need at any time, but there is definitely the secret place where we close the door and we pray. Galatians 4 verse 6, because you are his sons and daughters, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. I am so glad I have this relationship with my Abba Father today, but I believe there is so much more to understand and to realize how close this relationship can be. There is something much more intimate about our relationship with Abba, our Heavenly Father, who understands and knows all our weaknesses and frailties and calls us to come to him and know him as Abba today, Daddy. Romans 8 verse 14, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Verse 15, the Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. We are chosen children of God. I can remember crying out in distress to the Lord, with words to this effect, your little girl needs you. And that was from a desperate heart, a desperate cry. I know God hears our cries, he surely does. It doesn't matter how old we are in the faith before God, we can come as children crying out to our Heavenly Father. Psalm 120 verse 1, I call on the Lord in my distress and he answers me. We don't need to come to him fearing or cowering, but rather worshipping and acknowledging with a reverence and fear in the right sense of how holy God is. Hallowed be your name. And we are only able to recognize the holiness of God when we come to Christ, when we receive Christ by faith, to know the blackness of our sin. And praise God, through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can enter into the throne room because his blood cleanses us from all our sin. Amen. Hallowed, meaning be holy. Psalm 96 verse 8, ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. In other words, hallowed be your name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. As believers in Christ Jesus, we can bring our offering of praise and worship to him for all he is and all he has done. Hallowed, holy be your name. I love a chorus, we used to sing it, and sometimes I sing it to the Lord. It speaks of God's righteousness, and the words are, I worship you, Almighty God, there is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace, that is what I love to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty God, there is none like you. And God, for the believer in Christ today, is our righteousness. Oh, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we may be called, we should be called the children of God, the sons of God. We do not need to fear when God is our Heavenly Father. And the Lord Jesus goes on to say to his disciples, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come, to pray with an expectancy for Christ's return. And also for God's kingdom to broaden and increase here now on earth. To seek thy kingdom come, meaning to ask our Heavenly Father to help us in our own lives, to be obedient to kingdom matters, to share the gospel and pray for souls to be saved. God's will for our lives is that we seek his kingdom. Matthew 6 verse 33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Jesus was speaking of our natural needs. All these things will be taken care of as well. But he's telling us to seek first the kingdom of God. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Being part of our kingdom, we are called to share the gospel. 1 Peter 3:15, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. The Bible goes on to say, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. Always be prepared. We can all share with someone who asks what the reason for our hope is. If we have received Christ as our Lord and Savior, then our hope remains in him. What a testimony to give to the world. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. God's will and great commission for us is that we tell others this good news. Help us, Lord, to do this in our lives. When we see the Lord's Prayer, we see first, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, before our daily needs. When we pray for others, do we pray in this way, thy kingdom come, souls to be saved for the kingdom of God. 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him. But it must be according to his will, then he hears us. Thy will be done is a prayer of surrender. A prayer in acknowledging God knows what his will for our lives is, and we need to pray in tune with him, in line with his word. How do we know God's will for our lives? I believe it is through surrender in prayer and seeking his word and trusting him. Romans 12:1-2. Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. We need to surrender ourselves to what God wants in our lives, and this is what is called worship. thy will be done. We cannot dictate to God, but I really believe we can cry out to him and he will hear our desperate cries. To pray thy will be done from the heart takes trusting God. Psalm 18 verse 3, I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I have been saved from my enemies. In my distress I called to the Lord, I cried to my God for help. From his temple he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. That word, distress, means a tight place. Afflicted, anguish, tribulation. I'm sure there have been times in our lives where we have been crying out to God in our distress, and God hears us, church. Verse 16, he reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. Amen. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. The Lord delights in his children today. God loves his children. This life is fallen with physical illness, mental illness, brokenness, but God is our support and our strength. There will come a time where there will be no more struggle, no sickness, no brokenness, but through this fallen life, we have Christ as our Saviour today, as our strength. 2 Corinthians 12:8. The Apostle Paul, three times, he said, I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, speaking of a thorn in his flesh. But God said to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Andrew spoke about it last week. I see it that God's will for the Apostle was that the thorn should stay. Our thoughts and our ways are not God's ways. God can still use us with our thorns. Amen. Isaiah 55:8-9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. God makes a way, but it's his way. Amen. Don't waste time trying to figure it out with our natural thinking. How often I do that. So when we pray, we must acknowledge God's sovereign will through the desperate cries of our hearts to God. God will listen and will answer according to his will. And he's a faithful, loving God. The thorn in the flesh was something that Paul wanted removed. And we don't know what a thorn was, but it was bothersome to him. Enough so that he pleaded with God three times for it to be removed. But God told him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Maybe you've asked God to remove a thorn in your life. Paul's thorn was there for a particular purpose, remember. He had experienced revelations and visions from the Lord, and it stopped him. The purpose was to stop him becoming conceited, protecting him from pride and from himself, because he was human after all. And he says, in order to keep me from being conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. We see after this pleading with God, Paul comes to a place where he could say he could more gladly boast about his weaknesses so that Christ's power rested on him. When you get bogged down with a struggle or your weakness, remember God's strength. By the power of God's strength, his power is living within you. A sign of growth in our walk with the Lord is when we realize that something or someone we may be struggling with, maybe a thorn in the flesh, can be used to draw us closer to God and for him to be glorified. If we could do everything in our own strength, where would our reliance be on God? Whatever our weakness is, if it causes us to trust God more, we, like the Apostle Paul, can say, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, and in difficulties. Now, we may never go through what the Apostle Paul went through, but when we go through hardships, we can be strong in Christ. Paul said, for when I am weak, then I am strong. In the past, I have thought I don't want to be anxious over things and situations that seem sometimes so small and not really that difficult. But I know that this thorn keeps me relying on Christ. And I can say, how my heart can get so sinful and proud. Lord, you know what's best for me. You know what the thorn accomplishes. That's where our prayer life is so important. We can share with the Lord our weaknesses, but also through reading his word, we can have help when we need it. Give us this day our daily bread. Philippians 4 verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. I think the King James says passeth all understanding. I relate more to that. This is the NIV. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And that word says every situation by prayer. That's how important prayer is. How the enemy can cause our minds to be invaded with worry. But that is not God's will for our lives, church. His will is that our minds and hearts are guarded with his love and his peace. And this comes by bringing every situation to God in prayer. God does not want his child to be anxious about anything, but he wants us to bring everything to him in prayer with a grateful heart. Then the peace of God, which is higher and superior to our understanding, shall be a watcher in advance. I love that. God's watching in advance for his children. To mount guard, to protect our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. What a promise for a sound mind today. And I read a quote, "The love of God quite as often withholds the view of the entire distance of the windy path through life, and he reveals it to us step by step and from corner to corner." It's a lovely quote, isn't it? God is our watcher in advance. The enemy can throw those fiery darts, and we know they can be fiery. But God has already promised to protect our minds and hearts if we trust him. Isaiah 26 verse 3, "Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." I wrote back in my journal 2013, I wrote down to the Lord, "Lord, why am I so fearful when my Father God's protecting me? If my children were fearful, I would say, don't be afraid, I would take care of you." Jesus would say the same thing, "The Father will protect you, look after you, take care of you. God wants the best for me. Just trust." And I went on to write, "I don't want to go to heaven and Father God say to me, I loved you, couldn't you have trusted me? Lord, help me to trust you with my life and everything attached to it, my fears, my emotions. Amen. And may I place my fears and emotions into your hands tonight, Lord. Amen." And that was written in my weakness. But in my weakness, Christ's strength was and is perfected, made perfect. I read in the Word for today, April the 18th, this year, a lady who approached a preacher and said, "I don't bother God with little things. I only take the big ones to him." And the preacher replied, My dear lady, everything we take to God is little." The devotion went on to say, a part of Psalm 55 verse 22, "Cast your burden onto the Lord, releasing the weight of it, and he will sustain you. God knows you're not built to carry the weight of worry. So he invites you to give it to him today." And it went on to say, "Anything that's big enough to be a source of anxiety should be turned into prayer." And 1 Peter 5:7, "Casting the whole of your care on him, for he cares for you." And the word for today said, note the word casting, that's the opposite to carrying. And that was interesting, because I know about casting. I know casting is casting like that, but the opposite of carrying. So what are we carrying today that has become a source of anxiety for us? Psalm 55:22, the whole of the psalm, all of the verse, "Cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken." Amen. The Lord is asking us through his word to cast it upon him today, and we can pray about situations. I know sometimes I pray about situations but I forget to cast it on the Lord. I pray about it and I know God can do something about it, but I forget to cast it on Him. Nothing is too difficult for God. We need to cast everything onto the Lord and release it to Him. The Bible said, God knows what we need before we ask Him. And so Jesus said we can pray, give us this day our daily bread. And Jesus goes on to speak of forgiveness. That can be a difficult one. We need to forgive others if we ourselves want to be forgiven. Psalm 66 verse 18, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God has surely listened and has heard my prayer. Sometimes if we are harbouring sin in our hearts, it will affect our prayer life. In fact, it will affect our walk with the Lord Jesus. Matthew 18 verse 21, then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother and sister who sin against me? Up to 7 times. And Jesus answered, I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. Jesus is calling us to forgive and to forgive and to forgive again. Matthew 6 verse 14, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. We must remember that God gave His only Son for us. God gave His only Son for us to be forgiven of a debt we could not pay. Ephesians 4 verse 32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Have you been in a place where you have had an argument or said something not kind to someone, and you know that your communion with the Lord is affected through it? Then we need to be gracious and say sorry. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit in us. I know forgiveness in certain situations is very, very difficult. And it's only through the power of the Holy Spirit living in us and through us can we truly forgive and love in return through Christ. Christians are only capable of this type of forgiveness by the Spirit of God living within us. And it is He who provides the ability to offer forgiveness over and over. Just as God forgives us over and over, it is God's grace working in us. And the end of the prayer in verse 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. The new version, which helped me a lot, explained, and lead us not into temptation. The new version up there says, and don't let us yield to temptation. That makes it a bit easier to understand. We used to sing a song in the Salvation Army as a child, yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. I can't remember all the words, but. And as Christians, we all are tempted to sin. But this request from a believer to God, lead us not into temptation, in other words, and don't let us yield to temptation, is a plea to avoid dangers of sin altogether. Psalm 5 verse 8, lead me, Lord, in your righteousness. Because of my enemies, make your way straight before me. A plea to be led in God's ways. A plea to God to overcome temptation. This request for God not to lead us into temptation, help us not to yield to temptation, teaches us that avoiding temptation should be one of the primary concerns of the Christian life. Temptation can also refer to trials. So this is seeking a way of escape from the evil of temptation, not removal from any trials, but from the sin that comes when we are under a trial, being tested. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Amen? And deliver us from the evil one. If you turn to Ephesians 6, 12 to 18. We are told to put on the whole armour of God to withstand the devil's schemes. Verse 12. For our our struggles are not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore put on the whole armour of God, the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Prayer comes up there again, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. As the Lord's people, we will be under spiritual attack, and we should remember to pray for one another. We put on the waist of truth, which is found in Christ, being the truth, the word of God. The breastplate of our righteousness in Christ. We should have feet ready in place to share the gospel. The shield of faith to extinguish those fiery darts. The helmet of salvation, the assurance of our salvation, protects our minds against everything that would come up against us that is not aligned with God's word. The devil's lies and his accusations. And the sword of the Spirit is the word of the living God. The word of God living, the living word, is powerful, effective, and instructive. We are told to pray on all occasions. God is our protection against the evil one. The word of God, if we obey it, will protect us from the power of sin on our lives. Hallelujah. Psalm 19, verse 13. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. The end of the Lord's Prayer for every believer should be to seek his power over sin. We find that victory in prayer and reading his word, we find that victory in prayer and reading his word, and being obedient to his word. We as Christians are in a spiritual battle, but God is our defender. And when those fiery darts of the enemy attack us, we can take the whole armour up and withstand these attacks. The enemy will try and cause us to fall, but it is God who upholds us. Psalm 37, 23 and 24, the Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Though we may stumble, he will not fall. For the Lord upholds him with his hand. God will put a hedge of protection around his children. I come across this little, it's Julie because it's a writer. She wrote it 31st of the 7th, 2012. I'll just finish with this. Bless me. A wall of protection is from Word for Today, Job 1. Have you not made a hedge around him? Put a wall of protection around him. When God praised Job for his integrity, Satan replied, "You have always put a wall of protection around him. Take away everything he has, and he will surely curse you." So God gave Satan permission to test Job, but he placed limits on how far he could go. There are times when the enemy comes in like a flood to attack your mind, your marriage, your ministry, and anything that is born of God in your life. When that happens, Isaiah says, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a shield or a standard against him. When you feel you're at breaking point and can't handle any more, one more thing, the Holy Spirit lifts up the wall of the blood of Jesus and tells Satan, this far and no further. Amen. Hallelujah. Paul says, we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. There's a wall of protection around you. There's also a time for your deliverance. Amen. In the time of my favour, I heard you. And the day of my and in the day of salvation, I helped you. God will step in and intervene. The psalmist said, when my heart is faint, Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. When your resources are depleted and you think you're going under for the last time, God has provided a refuge that's higher than your circumstances, a place where you're under divine protection and the enemy has no jurisdiction. You have to lift your eyes towards heaven. Praise God. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your faithfulness. You are such a faithful God and a good father to your children. And Lord, I just pray that you will speak to our hearts. Thy will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.